Reported today was the deadliest day in the occupied West Bank in two decades. Israeli forces raided Jenin this morning and killed nine people. In response, the Palestinian Authority cut security coordination with Israel. And this evening, there were reports of rocket fire into Israel from Gaza, which is controlled by the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The West Bank raid coincided with an announcement that Secretary of State Tony Blinken will travel to Israel and the West Bank next week. Nick Schifrin looks at U.S. policy priorities and the tense Holy Land he'll soon visit.
In the West Bank's most volatile city, a most violent day. Palestinians carried out gunshot victims. They chanted the names of those killed in a fierce battle and rare daytime Israeli raid into Jenin's refugee camp. A massive show of Israeli force left a building that Israel says was full of militants plotting an imminent attack, a charred, destroyed wreck. Palestinians say one of the victims was an elderly woman. The fury quickly followed. Thousands filled the streets to mourn the dead, and the militant group Hamas, which runs Gaza, vowed revenge.
The resistance will always be ready to defend its people everywhere.
The fallout was also political. The Palestinian Authority said it would refer the raid to the UN and cut off security coordination with Israel.
In light of the repeated aggression against our people, we consider that security coordination with the Israeli occupation government no longer exists.
But for Israel's new government, the raid was mission accomplished. The Israeli army released body cam footage of the soldiers' raid. Heavy weapons fired onto the streets below, and Palestinians opening fire on Israeli soldiers. The new ultranationalist Israeli National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, called it a successful operation.
We give backing to our fighters in the war against the terrorists. Let every police officer know, every fighter, every soldier, that he has the full backing from the Israeli government, the Ministry of National Security, and the Commissioner of Police.
Jenin is largely controlled by Palestinian militants and has long been a flashpoint. But across the West Bank, the last year has been among the deadliest ever. Israel blames Palestinian terrorism. And now Israel's right-wing government pushes a hard line, including Ben-Gvir's recent visit to the Al-Aqsa compound, what Jews call the Temple Mount, Judaism's holiest site. In Washington, State Department Deputy Spokesman Vedant Patel called for calm.
We believe that there is an urgent need for all parties to de-escalate and to work together to improve the security situation in the West Bank.
In a separate incident, the Israeli military also fatally shot a 22-year-old Palestinian who confronted soldiers north of Jerusalem. For more on the violence and Secretary Blinken's upcoming trip to Israel, we turn to Aaron David Miller, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and a longtime State Department official in both Democratic and Republican administrations. Aaron David Miller, welcome back to the NewsHour. Thanks very much. This was the deadliest incident in the West Bank in decades. How consequential might it be?
I think very. I think this year, I think 29 Palestinians are already in 2023 have been killed. Last year was a record year of more violence, Palestinians and Israelis dying, than any point since 2005. Today's raid with nine, maybe even 10 killed, you already have a joint statement, which is not unusual from Palestine Islamic Jihad and Hamas, that there will be a response. Israelis will, quote unquote, pay for their actions, some such language.
As you said, it has been a violent few weeks during the time when the new Israeli coalition took charge, but the violence preceded the coalition. This isn't only about who's leading the government right now in Israel, is it?
No, absolutely. It's a gathering sort of perfect storm, Nick, that's been building for quite a while. You have a 56-year-old Israeli occupation. You've got a very weak Palestinian authority. Mahmoud Abbas, I think, is now in the 18th year of a four-year term. He's lost great credibility as a consequence of canceling elections last year. He's been accused of corruption and nepotism. And you also have this counterinsurgency strategy on the part of the Israelis, which since March has focused largely on Jenin. I'm not sure it's working, or the costs of it working are very high. And then finally, the emergence of an Israeli government we've never quite seen before, with three ministers, with budgets, as well as newfound powers. whose views and sensibilities are Jewish supremacist, racist, anti-democratic. You have a perfect storm, and it wouldn't take much, it seems to me, to light a match and create a serious explosion.
We heard just before the longtime Palestinian Authority spokesman say that they would, because of this raid, cut off security coordination. They've said that before. It hasn't necessarily lasted. But does that have an impact going forward if indeed that security coordination is cut off?
They've suspended formal security cooperation. But I suspect if the Palestinian Authority received information of an imminent attack, even in the West Bank against settlers or in Israel proper, that they would share that information with the Israelis. I suspect we will come back to Israeli-Palestinian security cooperation in large part because it is in Abbas's interest in order to check Hamas's growing influence in the West Bank.
Into this situation, Secretary Blinken hits the road in the next couple of days. We'll fly to Israel and we'll visit the West Bank earlier next week. What are the U.S. options when it comes to dealing with this violence and the new Israeli government?
I think bleak. I think, look, I work for half a dozen administrations. I've rarely, actually never, seen this much intense engagement with a new Israeli government at such a senior level. I think the administration has essentially made a decision to embrace the government, but to make it unmistakably clear, to hold Netanyahu to what he has said repeatedly, that his hands are on the wheel, he's in charge, this is his government. I think their options, though, Nick, are very, very, very few. The best they can hope for is to try to de-escalate and keep the lid on things. Because if they really were serious about helping to create an environment or a negotiation one day, not now, that could lead to an end of conflict agreement, they would have to create rules of the road for both Israelis and for Palestinians, and they would have to do everything they possibly could to impose consequences on both sides if, in fact, those rules of the road were violated. They really would have to get into some very awkward, unpleasant conversations, primarily with the Israelis. And Joe Biden, it's not an election year, but he probably will announce in the next 2 months his intention to seek a second term. It's fraught.
And quickly, you used the term keep a lid on the violence. That's what the U.S. wants. Historically, Israel has also wanted to keep a lid on violence, especially during a high-level U.S. visit. Is that still the case?
Benjamin Netanyahu, for all of his vaunted rhetoric, has been traditionally very risk-averse when it comes to projecting Israeli military force, whether it's Gaza or Lebanon. And I think the last thing the prime minister needs is this. On balance, it's going to be a problem for both Tony Blinken and for Benjamin Netanyahu, not to mention for Palestinians.
Aaron David Miller, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.